It's Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. And so we want to talk about why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And that may not be a burning question in your mind. There are times that people show up for a Resurrection Sunday service in a church just because it's tradition or just because family requires it. It would be embarrassing to make a scene and say, no, I'm not going to go. So you're here. And you're hoping I say something interesting so you don't fall asleep. And if I don't say something interesting, you're hoping that it's kind of quiet so that you can fall asleep. But I want to suggest to you that what I'm about to say is interesting, and I'm going to demand that the sound person turn it up loud enough so that you don't fall asleep. Because if you stop and pause just for a moment and reflect on this, most people throughout the centuries have believed that there is a God. Most people throughout the centuries have believed that there is a God. And most people throughout the centuries have believed that there is a problem in the relationship between us and God. So if you don't think those two things, know that most people throughout the history of the world would tell you you're wrong. You're wrong. And that you're ignoring a huge issue. And that issue is your relationship with God. And you may be saying this morning, wow, I have a relationship with God, whatever that is. Don't understand what you're talking about, preacher. Okay, fair enough. The Bible would say that the reason that you feel that way is because in reality, you have rebelled against him. You've turned your back on him. Not only that, but the Bible would say that there is an incredible price that you will pay for doing that. Death and eternal judgment. Because the reality is, God is the most incredible, fascinating, lovable being in the entire universe. That's reality. He is the most lovable being you could ever know. And if you have a relationship that is distant, it is not his fault. It's yours. In fact, he has done everything he can do to make it easy for you to have a relationship with him. Now, God is good and God is just. And that means that he must punish rebellion against him. And he, in his goodness, has declared that death is the penalty for rebellion against him. That's the penalty. That penalty can only be paid by a human life. That's the penalty. God had the plan, God had the idea of sending his son to pay the penalty for your rebellion against him. And he could have done it in any number of ways, but he did it in the way that would be most attractive to you. Bear with me a minute, because God did something incredible. He tried to make himself as attractive as possible. Just stop and think about it. Here we are in the capital of Christmas, and every year we celebrate the fact that Jesus came as a baby. He could have come as a grown man, but he came as a baby. I tell you what, if you don't like a little baby, there's a problem with you. I mean, every time a newborn baby comes in to church, everybody, oh, I got to go see the baby. I got to go see the baby. Because everybody loves to see little babies. So God said, you know what? I want to win the hearts of people. So I'm going to send my son, not as a grown adult. No, I'm going to send him as a little baby. Who can despise a little baby? Everybody loves babies. He made it easy. Not only that, Jesus grew up and he taught the ways of the kingdom of God. And he taught like no man has ever taught before. We still study what he said. His words seemed to drip with life. His ethics were incredibly pure. His way of speaking attracted multitudes. He talked to thousands and didn't need a sound man. He was an incredible speaker. He somehow was able to touch the depths of every person he talked to. He was incredible. He could have, you know, I suppose, come and been one of these people that you can barely understand. But no, he came as the world's best communicator, so that you could understand him and fall in love with him. Now, I remember many years ago being in a group, and frankly, the people in the group were the smartest people I had ever been around. They were like 200-watt light bulbs, and I was like a 10-watt light bulb. And they were intimidating, not intentionally, but it was like there was nothing I could add to the conversation. Why would they listen to me? You know, what would I possibly have to offer these people? They were just so smart. They already knew everything I could possibly say. And isn't it interesting that when God became flesh in the person of Jesus, came as a baby, then grew up and became the greatest teacher the world ever knew, one of the things that he was known to do was to bless the little children. Bless the little children. who really, you know, compared to what he knew, those little children didn't know anything. He says, no, I want to know these kids. I want to know these kids. I want to know them. I want to love on them. I want to bless them. Jesus, just love the little children. It's the type of person that he was. You ever meet anybody who doesn't like kids? They're around, and they're generally not very nice people. Not Jesus. Jesus loved kids. Jesus had time for people. And he has time for you. He has time for you to this day. Not only that, Jesus healed the sick. He healed the sick. Ian is here this morning early, getting the slides ready for our worship, and I went over to shake his hand. He said, oh, no, I'm sick. And I'm like, oh, good, stay away from me. I don't want to get sick. Jesus would have had the opposite response. Jesus would have moved towards the sickness. Jesus healed people. He didn't just heal people. He touched the lepers. He touched them. People starving for human touch. And he was not afraid. And he reached out his hand and touched them and healed them physically and also spiritually. This is the kind of God Jesus is. He wants to bring healing to your life. How can you not like him? How can you not fall in love with this man? He told his disciples early on what was going to happen. He told his disciples early on that he was going to go to the cross. He was going to die for the sins of the world. He was going to die. He was going to hang on the cross to pay the penalty for sin. He said, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then he did it. How can you not love someone who would give their life for yours? He made it easy. He made it easy to fall in love with him. Think about it. Think about it. He made it easy. He wanted you to know how much he loved you and cared for you and wanted to have a relationship with you. So much so that he was willing to die for you. But not just that. Oh, you think I'm going to talk about the resurrection next? I'm not. I want us to talk about this a little bit more. Think about it. The penalty for sin is death. Jesus came to pay that penalty. Okay? He lived a sinless life. So by his dying, he could pay the penalty for others because he didn't deserve to die. He could have died any possible way. The guillotine would have worked. Quick, efficient, over and like that. He could have done that. But he chose not to. He chose to hang on a cross. To be in agony for hours. Why? He wanted you to know that not only was he willing to die for you, he was willing to go through incredible pain to know you, to have a relationship with you. He wanted you to ponder his great love. And I want to think, I want you to just stop and think for a moment. How many reminders you have seen of his hanging on a cross for you. 2,000 years later, there's still reminders of his hanging on a cross for you. He's made it so easy for you. Driving on the wine route the other day. Middle of the mountains. There on the side of the road, statue of Jesus hanging on the cross. Walking through town, all of a sudden, statue of Jesus hanging on the cross. Another reminder of how much he suffered and how much he loves us. So much love that he's willing to die for us. It's awesome. He made it so easy to fall in love with him. How many have seen this painting before? Anybody here seen this painting? It's one of the most famous paintings. The Resurrection of Jesus. Go down to Colmar and see it. Go down to Colmar and see it. It's known around the world. Known around the world. The resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. 3 days dead, come back to life again. And the testimony of that is spread around the world in preaching, in testimony one-on-one, in artwork. He's made it easy to believe. But it's an incredible story, isn't it? I mean, we can get our heads around a famous religious person being killed. We can get our heads around that. But the resurrection, that's weird. That's weird. In the Gospel of Luke, after the resurrection, the disciples were talking. And as they were talking, Jesus himself stood among them. And he said, "Peace be with you." And the disciples said, "Oh, man, just like you said, Jesus. You told us you'd come back." No, when Jesus stood in front of them, they were skeptical, but not just skeptical. They were scared. They were terrified. The Greek has two words. The ESV translates it, they were startled and frightened. No, they weren't just startled. They were terrified. They were scared as scared could be. And they sought a rational excuse for what they were experiencing. And for them, the only logical explanation was that this was some type of ghost or spirit or some type of supernatural thing going on. They tried to explain it away, what they were experiencing, because of their fear of what they were experiencing. They tried to explain it away. But Jesus said, no. You think I'm a ghost? Wait a minute. Look at my hands. Look at the scars. Touch me. Hey, you got something to eat? let's have a meal together. Give me some fish, and I'll eat and prove that this is not some mental thing. The fish will disappear as I eat. He did what he could to convince the disciples that he was alive. He was trying to make it incredibly easy for them. Then he went on and he reminded them that everything that was written in the scriptures needed to be fulfilled. That in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before, there had been prophecies that the Messiah would suffer and die and on the third day rise from the dead. And so Jesus began to explain to them that what had happened was a fulfillment of the scriptures. And then he focused the message. He focused the message. The Son of God comes, pays the penalty for sins, is raised to life again, and now proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins to all nations. Remember, I said our problem was rebellion against God. Repentance simply means turning away from rebellion, turning around. Instead of being a rebel, becoming a follower. Instead of not liking Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. So preach repentance and the fact that the blood of Jesus can wash away all of your sins. He paid the penalty, so there is no more guilt or shame for those who believe in him. The disciples heard what Jesus had to say there in that room, and they believed. And they began to preach. And they turned the world upside down. And their message went from one person to another person to another person. From one generation to another generation to this generation. To this morning, where the gospel has been preached again, God is making it easy for you to believe. He's making it easy. How easy is he making it? All you have to do is repent and believe the gospel. And he wanted you to have this morning a tangible reminder of the reality of who he is. So, 24 hours before he was hanging on the cross, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And he transformed the Passover into communion. He took a piece of bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you." And he took the cup. And he prayed a prayer of blessing and he gave it to his disciples and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this to remember me." And so for 2,000 years, believers have celebrated communion. And I am thoroughly convinced that on that night, when he broke the bread with his disciples, he had you in mind. He was thinking about you. And he was thinking about you sitting here right now this morning. And he wanted you to know that this is for you. Oh, my friends, he made it so easy. He made it so easy. He made it so easy to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. He made it so easy to say, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you. I love you. I love you. I want to be with you forever. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning. Lord, I pray that they would sense your love, that they would sense how much you desire to have a relationship with them. And Lord, I pray that those who have not yet done so would turn and follow you, that they would receive the forgiveness of their sins, and they would walk in newness of life. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name.